RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. The 9th Blue Economic Congress to be organized in Indonesia. The 6th Asian African Conference to highlight issues about economy, tourism, and people-to-people contact. Indonesian government to prepare the replacement location of Cilamaya. Now the news in detail. The 9th Blue Economic Congress will take place in Surabaya, Java, Indonesia from 30th until 15th of April. The Congress will be organized by the Blue Economy Foundation, a non-profit and accountable foundation which is followed at the previous Congress held in Madrid, Spain in 2013. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Indroyono Susilo, will attend the Congress and give a speech. Previously in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Indroyono said that the conference is aimed at showing the world that Indonesia can implement blue economy well.
Kita semua sedang bersiap-siap. Pada bulan September tahun ini, para pemimpinan dunia akan menyepakati.
We are all prepared in September this year. World leaders will agree Sustainable Development Goals, SDG. Millennium Development Goals, MDGs, has been completed this year. Later it is prepared SDG draft that would be circulated to the entire world. If all parties agree it, the SDG has 70 goals. From 70 goals, the goal number 14 is about the issue of maritime and marine resources. We are striving to be maintained. If successful, the world resources will lead to the sector, including blue economy issue.
Termasuk masalah blue economy ini. Jadi ini perjuangan dunia lah.
On the same occasion, advisor of Blue Economy Foundation, Sri Woro Harjono, said that blue economy is a series of approaches and industrial activity which includes several aspects such as environmentally friendly, sustainable, multi-products, cyclic production systems, and minimum discharges. The implementation of blue economy emphasizes on innovation ecosystems, science and technology, as well as community involvement through the transfer of knowledge and practice of entrepreneurship for local development for poverty reduction as an international commitment. Sri Woro added that at this Congress there will be sessions of success stories from a number of practitioners who have successfully implemented aspects of blue economy approach in industrial activities. On the last day, participants will be invited to conduct field trips. Various important issues will be discussed in several meetings of the commemoration of the 60th Asian African Congress, such as economy, tourism, and people-to-people contact. The detail will be reported by Lalu Fikran Singkan.
Listeners, some important issues of Indonesia's national interest will be discussed in the meetings of the commemoration of the 60th Asian African Conference that will take place in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java on 19 to 24 April 2015. Intra-Regional Cooperation Director, Asia-Pacific and Africa, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Benjamin Scott Karnadi, while giving testimony at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta Thursday, said that the issues that would be discussed in the senior official meeting, minister level up to the level of head of states, are the issues of the economy, tourism, and people-to-people contact.
Memang berbagai isu yang menjadi kepentingan Indonesia telah masuk.
Certainly, a variety of issues that become Indonesia's interest, among others, issues of economic development, energy security, tourism issues, people-to-people contact, and issues related to the Asian African Universities Network as well. The issues that will fill the Asia-Africa cooperation in the future so that the relationship between these two great continents, which represent approximately 75% of the world's population and more than 30% of the world's GDP, will be more developed further. Meanwhile, in the same occasion, Vice Chairman of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Noke Kiroyan, said, "The commemoration of the 60th Asian African Conference will also be completed with the Asian African Business Summit and will be attended by 400 participants from Indonesia and various countries in Asia and Africa in order to promote business relation between the two continents."
Kami harapkan bahwa event ini akan dihadiri oleh...
"We hope that this event will be attended by 400 participants, 200 from Indonesia and 200 from other Asia-African countries, respectively. And we expect several head of state or head of government will attend as the keynote speaker at the event, as to improve relation between Indonesia or the of Asia and African countries should we listen to policies of some head of state or head of government in promoting business relation among these countries." Moreover, Noke Kiroyan asserted the focus of discussion at the Asian African Business Summit that will be held on April 21, 2015 in Jakarta are about infrastructure, trade, agribusiness, and maritime, with the main speaker is the President of South Africa and Ethiopia. From 109 invitations, more than 3 countries have expressed their readiness to attend the commemoration of the 60th Asian African Conference, such as Iran, North Korea, China, Singapore, Cambodia, Malaysia, Myanmar, Mozambique, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and Vietnam. Lalu Fikan Shinkan reporting from Jakarta.
After the cancellation of Chilomaya Port development in West Java, Indonesian government is currently looking for a placement location. This was affirmed by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Indroyono Susilo, in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Minister Indroyono, the main requirement for the construction of the replacement location of this port must have a corridor along 10 kilometers.
Dari rencana awal kan di Cilomaya itu, koridornya...
In the initial plan of Cilomaya area, the corridor was 4 kilometers. That was already hampered some location that have existing wells now, because it was moved to the east. By looking for 10-kilometer corridor whose width is 10 kilometers to seaward, so that we could see that this area is appropriate. The location is still in West Java as well. Furthermore, Minister Indroyono added that the cancellation of Chilomaya Port project is based on the consideration of the government to maintain the sustainability of oil and gas operation in the region. He said the operation of oil and gas in the region produces 40,000 barrels per day, and it is estimated that in 2020 it will produce 50,000 barrels per day. Minister Indroyono added the seat of the development project to eastward was taken because in 2020, industrial area is not only in Cikarang, but it is expected to move eastward. He said the construction of a new port is also needed, remembering in 2020 Tanjung Priok Port is estimated to undergo exceeding capacity. Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.N. Fazir has emphasized on the importance of establishing coordination to implement Indonesian economic diplomacy in Central and East Europe. Joint synergy among the government, Indonesian mission abroad, the private sector would help the country take optimum advantage of the potential in Central and East Europe to develop economic and trade cooperation with other countries. He added that Indonesia must be able to develop the existing network and footprint in Central and East Europe to drop a strategy to achieve the concrete target operation export and foreign tourist arrivals in Indonesia. Regions in Central and East Europe, which includes 22 countries with a total population more than 300 million, offered Indonesia a great chance to market its key commodities such as rubber, coffee, cacao, and crude palm oil. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Croatian Bilateral Committee, George Iwan Marantika, said that the clear synchronization and guidance related to the national strategy to market products in Central and East Europe would help local businessmen develop the market for the products in the two regions. Russia is predicted to wear away Indonesian and Australian dominance in the Pacific thermal coal market following the sharp ruble correction over the past year. Energy consultancy Wood Mackenzie said thermal coal exports from Russia to the Pacific have gone up by some 8 million tons, with output jumping 70% to a record high 200 million tons. The ruble depreciation combined with the impact of the lower prices helped Russian coal market share to skyrocket to 35%. Australia and Indonesia have about 80% of the approximately 760 million ton thermal coal demand in the Pacific this year, but Russia is paving the way to leading suppliers' market share, said Wood Mackenzie senior Asia Pacific region analyst Kian Kwi Kiam. Kiam said the Russian better proximity to coal consuming North Asia compared to Indonesia and Australia, crumbling could displace the Australian and Indonesian dominance. Fortunately, Indonesian coal companies still pay their operating costs in US dollars. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel said he was satisfied with the result of the President Joko Widodo's visit to Japan last week. He said in a written statement on Tuesday, April 2nd, that at least four Japanese companies have stated their commitments to increase investment in Indonesia. He added that last week President Joko Widodo and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe agreed to review Indonesian-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement, AJPA, with the goal of improving and expanding trade investment between the two countries. Last year, the bilateral trade value between Indonesia and Japan reached $40.1 billion, with a trade surplus of $6.1 billion for Indonesia. Indonesian export to Japan in January 2015 stood at $1.75 billion, a 9.63% year-on-year decline. Meanwhile, Indonesian imports from Japan for the same period reached $1.17 billion, down by 20.56% year-on-year. At the end of 2014, Japan's actual investment in Indonesia comprised of 1,374 projects worth around $2.7 billion in 2014. State gas distributor PT Perusahaan Gas Negara PGN over the last 8 years has deposited 30.45 billion rupiah to the state in dividends, taxes, and fees. In 2007, PGN distributed 1,150 million metric standard cubic feet per day of natural gas. In 2014, the volume increased to 1,710 million metric standard cubic feet per day. The gas is distributed through PGN's pipes that have reached 6,161 kilometers in length in the late 2014. PGN spokesperson Irwan Andre Amtmanto said on Tuesday that the gas distribution increase has gained revenues and operating income and liabilities to the state in the form of dividends, taxes, and media's dues churned over the last 8 years. PGN is committed to keep improving the utilization of gas natural for the public. The company continues to develop infrastructure and distribution facilities to various consumer segments, households, small and medium enterprises, commercial buildings, industrial buildings, power generation, and transportation industry. Around 1,300 hectares of mangrove forest, equal to 10% of the total mangrove forest in North Penajan, Pasir Regency, East Kalimantan, is damaged as a result of the illegal logging. Sugino, the head of the forestry unit of Penajan Pasir Utara Forestry and Plantation Agency, as quoted by Antara News Agency, said that around 10% of the total 13,000 hectares mangrove forest, especially the ones existing in Babulu Laut coastal zone, is damaged because of illegal logging. Must be seen as a serious concern. Many people use mangrove as a main material for charcoal making. The lack of the people's awareness on mangrove protection becomes one of the factors that damaged the mangrove in this area. Sugina also added that the budget for mangrove rehabilitation is minimal despite of 1,200 hectares mangrove is severely damaged. Sugina added that the budget for mangrove rehabilitation was cut around 70% from the total initial proposal of 2 billion rupiah. Only 500 million was approved because it does not consider as priority. The last item, Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyo said on Tuesday that the Trans Sumatra Toll project will be launched on April 25th with a consortium consisting of PT Hutama Karya, PT Jasa Marga, PT Wijaya Karya, and PT Waskita Karya taking care of the project. ISDP will be the one working on building docks. Minister Basuki added the land acquisition no longer faces obstacle, and the approval of letter for the demolition construction location for Bakahuni region is already obtained. Hutama Karya President Director Gusti Ngurah Putra said the revision of Presidential Decree No. 100-2014 only mandates PT Hutama Karya as a developer that is already priced and has been submitted to President Joko Widodo. The 383-kilometer Trans Sumatra Toll Road is part of President Joko Widodo's ambition to build 2,000-kilometer road from Banda Aceh to Bakahuni, Lampung. The consortium will work on Bakahuni, Terbanggi, Besar Pematang, and Panjang Kayu Agung Toll Roads. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Nigeria has a newly elected president. Nigeria has a newly elected president, Muhammadu Buhari, a former military leader. Although the Nigerian Election Commission is still calculating the outcome of the votes, the figure obtained shows a significant advantage for Buhari compared with the incumbent president, Goodluck Jonathan. The spokesperson of the Buhari supporting party, Garba Shehu, ensures that Jonathan has communicated with Buhari to acknowledge his defeat in the presidential election of Nigeria. Buhari is not a new figure in the government. Between the end of 1983 to August 1985, General Muhammadu Buhari led Nigeria through a military coup. The government of Buhari was considered as a hard regime and often violated human rights. Buhari had military experience, which was considered positive with the situation in Nigeria when Boko Haram became a burden to the government of President Jonathan. Buhari's victory is achieved because his campaign focuses on the issues of internal security and combating corruption. Jonathan's defeat was predicted previously because he used to promise to be able to end the resistance of Boko Haram within 1 month. In a statement to the Western media before the election of the president, Jonathan said that Boko Haram had been getting weaker. He admitted that Nigerian military lacked weaponry and resources. He affirmed that the issue has been resolved. However, Jonathan's claim was not justified because the attack of Boko Haram still happens. After Nigerian Election Commission announced officially Buhari's victory, Buhari affirmed in a statement on Wednesday 1st of April 2015 that he promised to break the resistance of Boko Haram group. He also promised to serve the people of Nigeria and uphold the law, including against government officials. To address with the corruption that has long hampered Nigeria, Buhari wants to put an end to the bad behavior that threatens the economic development and democracy. The leadership transition in Nigeria, which was demonstrated through presidential election that took place well, was responded positively by President Barack Obama. He congratulated the newly elected President Buhari and appreciated Jonathan, who chose to prioritize the interests of the state by admitting his defeat. Meanwhile, Chairperson of African Union Commission, Ngosasana Dlamini Zuma, said the election result was maturity of democracy in Nigeria in specific and in Africa in general. While Indonesia greets positively the democracy transition in Nigeria, it is expected that the newly elected president, Muhammadu Buhari, is able to realize his campaign promises to break down the Boko Haram insurgency. Security and stability in Nigeria are indicators of security and stability in West African region. Moreover, Nigeria is a friendly country of Indonesia in various forums, such as the Non-Aligned Movement and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from April 3, 1922. Joseph Stalin became the first Secretary General of the Soviet Communist Party. Joseph Stalin was the leader of the Soviet Union and a very tyrannical dictator, also known as the Man of Steel. He was involved in the murder of about 30 million inhabitants of Russia and surrounding countries. On April 3, 1922, he appeared as General Secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Stalin's main rival was Leon Trotsky. When the whole of the party were in the rule of Stalin, Trotsky were driven out from the Soviet Union, later killed in Mexico in 1940. When Lenin died on January 21, 1924, Stalin appeared as the new leader of the Soviet Union. He treated his rival or anyone who disagrees with him brutally and inhuman, especially during major cleanup in the Soviet Union, which took many lives. They were all sentenced to death as an enemy of the Soviet state or thrown into labor camps or prisons. Gulag prison camp is one of the silent witnesses to the brutality of Stalin during the Great Terror in the Soviet Union. On April 3, 1941, Baghdad is ruled by Rashid Gilani troops. On April 3, 1941, the Iraqi nationalist group led by Rashid Ali Gilani seized the city of Baghdad. Gilani group managed to occupy Baghdad because of the support of Germany. At that time, the British, who considered Iraq as part of its colony area, conduct raids into Baghdad to oust Gilani from the city. The slow pace of the German aid makes Gilani expelled from Baghdad. Since then, the British imposed a strict control over Iraq. When the World War II occurred, Iraq entered by the British as a country that support the Allied forces. The last item of Today in History on April 3rd commemorates as the day of Persit Kartika Chandra Kirana. Army's Wife Organization, better known Persit Kartika Chandra Kirana, was born amid the Indonesian struggle imbued with the spirit and lofty ideals to win independence from invaders. In its growth, this organization cannot be separated from the development of the army. The activities on the public kitchen and the Red Cross were chosen by Persit Kartika Chandra Kirana during the struggle for independence period. Based on kinship in arms, the wife of the army soldiers formed several locally organizations with the name of Persatuan Kaum Ibu Tentara or PKIT. The organization was established on April 3, 1946 in Purwakarta, West Java by Ratu Aminah Hidayat, who then became known as the founder of Persit. Since then, the history of the organization of Persit Kartika Chandra Kirana started. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
Hello listener, welcome to today's Focus entitled Indonesian Government Evacuates Thousands of Indonesian Citizens from Yemen. Listener, related to the worsening of security situation in Yemen, the Indonesian government is to stop evacuation for thousands of Indonesian citizens who are trapped in the country. Protection Director of Indonesian Citizens and Legal Entity, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, said the Indonesian government sent two teams intensification for evacuation of citizens to Yemen on Thursday, April 2, 2015, consisted of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Police, Air Forces, and State Intelligence Agency. The first team left on Thursday morning, led by Susapto Anggoro Broto of the Air Force, consisting of 15 people, and operates in the city of Sana'a, while the second team departed on Thursday afternoon, led by Yusron Ambari of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, consists of 8 people, and will be operated in the city of Al-Mukalla. The condition is continuously dynamic hour per hour, so we cannot create fixed scenarios from the beginning. However, we have prepared a series of scenarios. Later, the main team will be led by Mr. Sabto. He is a veteran. He has been assigned in Tripoli, in Tunisia, in Cairo and Damascus in evacuation operations. The second team will be led by Yusran Ambari. The aim of the second team is to enter Al-Mukalla, but it will go through the Oman border. There is a town named Salala. There is an airport closest to the border. According to Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, the team to accelerate the evacuation of Indonesian citizens in Yemen will be on board Indonesian Air Force's Boeing 737 through Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport, Jakarta. Lalu Muhammad Iqbal said, the Indonesian Air Force's Boeing 737 is not going to repatriate the Indonesian citizens from Yemen to Indonesia, but it will carry them from various cities in Yemen to the nearest and safest airport on the border prior to their repatriation to Indonesia. Lalu Muhammad Iqbal explained, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi has communicated and asked for help the ministers of foreign affairs of friendly countries such as India and China, which ships and military bases are around Yemen, to help during the evacuation process. Meanwhile, Army Chief of Staff General Gatot Nurmantio said the army is ready to help repatriate Indonesian citizens residing in Yemen. The Indonesian Army will work closely with the Air Forces to evacuate thousands of citizens who live in Yemen. Gatot Nurmantio said the repatriation effort is made due to the deteriorating security situation in Yemen. However, the repatriation, according to Gatot, depending on the command of the Foreign Affairs Ministry. According to him, the army is ready to carry out tasks for the interests of the nation and the state. Gatot asserted the army just waiting for orders from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to pick up citizens who live in Yemen. That was today's focus.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pane. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Tejo Edi Purdiyatno, said that President Joko Widodo had once raised questions about the execution of drug convicts.
that you said that Jokowi wanted to know why the execution had not been carried out. The 9th Blue Economy Congress will be held on 13 to 15 April in Surabaya, East Java, Indonesia. The Congress will be organized by the Blue Economy Foundation, a non-profit and accountable foundation which became a continuation of the previous Congress that was held in Madrid, Spain in 2013. Indonesian Army Commander General Muldoko has devised strategies to evacuate Indonesians trapped in the conflict Yemen. The operation is divided into a preparation phase and execution phase. The Indonesian government and the House of Representatives have agreed to work on an amendment to the anti-terrorism law to beef up measures against the threat from the Islamic State IS group, which is looming ever larger over the country. Communications and Information Minister Rudiantara is urging the owners of news websites to register their sites with an Indonesian network domain to have the government monitor their content following the recent blocking of 19 sites deemed to be promoting radicalism. Well, listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It's a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Dalat Pane. In today's edition, I introduce you various traditions during Easter celebrations in Indonesia. So stay tuned. Listener, all Christians around the world today celebrate Good Friday. Good Friday is before Easter Sunday, commemorating the crucifixion of Jesus the Christ on the hill of Golgotha. 2 days after Good Friday, the Christians community then celebrate Good Easter, commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Indonesia, Easter is celebrated in some areas with fairly unique. For example, the Christian community in Larantuka, East Nusa Tenggara, celebrate Easter by holding Semana Santa events. Every year, approximately 1 week before the feast of Easter, Larantuka city, crowded by come from some parts of Indonesia and even abroad to follow the traditions of Semana Santa. Semana Santa or Holy Week is celebrated for 4 consecutive days. The ritual is begun on White Thursday and will finish on Easter Sunday. The procession of the fig falls on Friday or Sesta Fira. In the peak of the Semana Santa procession on Good Friday, the procession of head of Jesus Christ statue, that is locally called Tuan Ana, as well as a statue of Mary and Tuan Ma to commemorate the death of Jesus Christ. The morning before the peak of the ceremony, people also do parade. Tuan Menino or the baby Jesus were using a small paddle boat. During the day, followed the procession towards the cathedral, where the starting point of the procession, Sesta Fera. During the night of Good Friday, millions of candles lit in the 2-kilometer route and in front of people's homes through which the procession. The procession will finish until midnight. Listener, unlike the Christians in Larantuka, Christians in Central Kalimantan celebrate Easter with a pilgrimage to the tomb of their family. Pilgrimage is conducted from noon on Holy Saturday until dawn on Easter Sunday. Pilgrimage, which is an acculturation with the Dutch culture, is often called the pilgrimage Memento Mori, which means remember death. With the pilgrimage, Christians in Central Kalimantan is expected to always remember the dead past. Kote community in Nomuti sub-district in East Nusa Tenggara held Kure celebrations to mark the feast of Easter. Kure words comes from the Latin meaning to pray while visiting families. This tradition is started by cleaning the statues of Jesus and Maria, which were brought by the Portuguese. They then handed offerings that address to the god in the form of money, fruits, vegetables, beetle, and amorica. These offerings submitted to a special home in the local language called Ume Osinemo. Then this offering will be distributed to the pilgrims, prayer groups, and visitors who attended the procession. The procession is closed by removing the rest of the decoration in Ume Osinemo to river and a sign of the release of bad luck and sins. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Easter celebration in Indonesia. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, boy listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with Mirahma. Today's edition will reveal the importance of mangrove plant for humans' life. Mangrove is a beneficial and essential plant for people, particularly for the preservation and sustainability of environment. Mangrove is a strong and practical natural protector to hold beach erosion or abrasion, as well as beach wind, which blows fast. This was revealed by the advocacy head of the Indonesian Forum for the Environment or WALHI, Nur Hidayati, to Voice of Indonesia recently.
Very important because mangroves, they are protecting the coastal areas. If the mangrove ecosystem is gone, then it is easier for salt water, for the seawater to intrude into our groundwater, and it makes our groundwater become salty. Like, for example, in Indonesia, one research find out that the salt water actually are already entering to Jakarta ground till the area of Monas. It's quite disturbing how our coastal area that has been destroyed so much, it will also jeopardize the existence of our clean water on the ground.
Regarding its existence in environment, mangrove forest gives lots of benefit to living creatures and beach environment. Nur Hidayati explained another benefit of mangrove.
Because like I say, if there is no more mangrove, and once it is destroyed, the mangrove ecosystem is very difficult to be restored again. It takes years and years to make it grow big and, you know, become a full ecosystem. And besides protecting our groundwater from the intrusion of ocean water, the mangrove ecosystem is also where the fish regenerating, yeah. And also it's becoming the source of livelihood for small-scale fishers as well.
Indonesia has mangrove forests with rich diversity. It is expected that the number of plants growing and forming mangrove forests reaches 202. However, the fact is mangrove forests in Indonesia is declining because of resorts built right on the seashore. Awareness of resort businessmen is needed to preserve mangrove forests in the coast. Nur Hidayati then explained possible loss for the resort businessman.
In this slow but surely process also can disrupt the economy of the businessman as well. Because when they have no more ground clean water, they have to making the clean water. Yeah, it's like the nature give back what people take from them. So for businessmen, if they want to be more sustainable in their business, it is an imperative for them to take care of the environment, because otherwise their cost will increase.
Mangrove forests in the coast plays a key role to maintain the stability of shoreline, as trees and bushes in mangrove forests can protect the seashore from direct wave which may hit and damage the seashore. Mangrove forests can hold energy from the wave. Mangrove plants can reverse, continue and absorb wave energy so that only ripple which will hit the seashore. It is a very important ecosystem for the sustainability of humans' life. In Indonesia, there are several well-maintained mangrove forests. The existence of mangrove certainly not only becomes the responsibility of the government. Awareness of people around mangrove forests is also important. It may not take tens of years for mangrove to grow perfectly to become an ecosystem that can protect the land from wave. Well, for listener, that ends today's miscellany on the importance of mangrove. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian singer who was popular in 2000s, Uut Permatasari, and she is a dangdut singer. Well, listener, to begin the program, here is a song by Uut Permatasari entitled Ojek Cinta. Enjoy.
Hey DJ, do you want to know?
Listener, Uut Permatasari, whose real name is Utami Suryaningsih, was born in Sidoarjo, East Java, April 7, 1982. She is a dangdut singer who is popular with goyang ngecor or casting dance, which is dancing by lifting one leg while spinning around as if sticking feet to the ground. The daughter of Supati Ningsih has loved singing and won various competitions from district to regency level. Besides practicing vocal, Uut also practices dancing ballet and traditional dances like Yapong. No wonder her body is flexible when dancing while singing. All right, listener, before we get closer to Uut Permatasari, let's listen to another song by Uut Permatasari entitled Dicoba Cobain. Happy listening. Listener, to develop her career, Uut moved to Jakarta in 2003. Uut rose to fame when she, through the song Putri Panggung, became mascot and presenter of Laris Manis show in a private TV station. In addition, Uut also presented the Godas show in another private TV station. Although she was busy as a presenter, Uut still performed even in the neighboring countries Malaysia, Hong Kong, and Korea. Well, listener, to end the program, we play you two songs by Uut Permatasari called Was Was and Nggak Jelas. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in the next edition of Music Corner. Bye, listener.
kelihatan curangnya, jadi was-was aku dibuatnya.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.